Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Back to another episode of the Group Answers Podcast. I'm Brian Daniel with Chris Surrett.
What's up, Brian?
Well, you know, we're winding things down here. We're getting ready for the summer season. You guys traveling?
Doing a little family? Bit. Yeah, doing a little bit of traveling. In a couple weeks, we'll be in, where will we be? Oh, down in the beaches of Florida/Alabama. What do they call that? Florabama?
I've heard that reference, yes.
Something like that, yeah.
I would not be one that would use the term Florabama.
You would not.
Just for the record, okay. Though.
Would you use
I mean, even being from Kentucky, we have our thresholds.
Would you use Aleida? Is that how you would go with it?
Is that the North Shore on Oahu in Hawaii?
yeah, close. Same kind of beach.
No, that's really nice down there. We're going to stick around this summer and take a big trip this fall, I think. So,
oh, cool.
We're going to go out to Northern California and do some stuff out there. So it's exciting.
You know what I'm most excited about this episode is that there was a pretty strong chance that you were not going to be a part of it, which would have been the first Group Answers / Groups Matter podcast ever.
The streak would have been over.
Ever.
The Joe DiMaggio
without Brian kind of Daniel. Streak. Yeah. I know. You remember when, what's his name, the shortstop, and he had that big game, you know.
Cal Ripken.
Cal Ripken, yes.
Yeah.
Cal Ripken Jr. He set the record, and it was like, you know, can't hurt his ankle. You almost hurt your ankle.
Yeah, almost did. I was thinking that we might be in Dallas, actually.
Ooh, good segue.
But I'm just gonna do in and out down there tomorrow instead of the overnight. So
yeah. Good segue to our
guest. Yeah, segue.
Though.
Do it.
Yeah, we're excited. I'm super excited to have my friend Jared Musgrove as a guest today. Jared serves as the group's pastor and elder at the Village Church in the Flower Mound, Texas. Or Dallas, if you're not familiar with that area. He earned a bachelor's degree in journalism from the University of Oklahoma, a master of divinity in preaching from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and a doctorate of ministry in leadership from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He is the husband of Jenny and the father of two sons, Jordan and Joshua. You can follow him on Twitter at J.S. Musgrove. I've almost said .com, but actually that's it. That's the Twitter handle. So welcome, Jared. We're so excited to have
Doctor. Let's get it right. Dr. Jared Musgrove.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah, jaredmusgrove.com seems a bit presumptuous. So
yeah. Welcome to the show, Jared.
Yeah, no, thank you guys for having me. I always look forward to talking with you, man, and love talking groups with guys who love talking groups. So this is awesome.
It's a good fit.
I think it's a miss that you did not include on your bio the biggest Superman fan of all time. I think you should probably add that. What do you think?
Man, yeah, that seems a bit presumptuous. I definitely am the resident Superman expert at the Village. I am very, very clear with that one. Yeah. And so.
Well, I'm a Batman guy.
Well,
so.
Okay.
Yeah, although
you guys are DC kindreds, though.
Yeah. Although the Batman versus Superman movie was terrible. I don't know what you thought, Jared, but I did not like it.
I saw what they wanted to do, and I can appreciate it on that level. Okay.
So, Jared, I've got to.
Was that diplomatic enough?
Yeah, that was good.
I've got to ask. So, do you own any of the rare comics?
Man, I do have a couple that are that I think are special. I mean, there's nothing in the, you know, thousands of dollars range, but there's a couple that I've got that I think are great. And then I've got the first one I ever owned, and that's on a shelf, and it is proudly displayed.
How old are the
first comic?
So how old are those guys?
I've got one from the 70s that was a pretty seminal issue. Yeah. It was an anniversary issue of Superman. And then the one that I owned was from 1984 or five, I want to say.
That's cool.
And so, yeah,
so Chris, you may not know this, but I've got some old X-Men and I do have some from the 1950s,
Ooh. But
they're not rare ones. I just thought they were cool. You can pick them up for like $8 or $9. And like Jared, I have them displayed like in our bonus room. It's just kind of cool art, yeah. I think.
That's impressive. I'm always super impressed with the people that keep them in the boxes. and never open them? Because I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how do you not pull it out and play with it? I mean, especially when you got it as a kid. Oh, here's a present for you. Okay, I'll keep it in the box.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get that.
So
it's Toy Story 2 all over again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you're meant to be played with.
Yes. So Jared, opening idea here or thought at the Village. So you guys are, you fall into that mega church category, but you're also multi-site. And so you kind of operate on, to some degree, on both levels of mega and more smaller local church, even though that may be hard for some people to believe. But
right.
You guys, when you're in, when you find yourself in that demographic or in that size, it seems to me, looking from the outside, things are always fluid. So I think just right off the bat here, I would just be interested in knowing, and I think I would love our listeners to know what is changing at the group's ministry at the Village these days, as opposed to what you guys have done like for the last 15 years. Because my understanding, just as I've interacted with you guys, is, I mean, you're making some decisions.
Oh yes, yeah, and I love the journey we've been on, because you're right. Multi-site kind of happened to us, and that there was it just began to happen, and we jumped on that train. And I think we tried to lead well, and the goal with multi-site for us was always that these campuses would become eventual autonomous churches. So it was long-term church planting strategy. Right. But as the campus, as we grew to a number of campuses, you know, five or so, we at first were kind of highly centralized with groups. And then we started unfurling that a little bit, and each campus began to have its group's flavor. And the groups people at the campuses would get together and we'd all try to come up with strategies. But what became very clear very early on was that we're just in some different contexts, even in the DFW Metroplex. There's just some differences in context to, you know, say our Fort Worth campus or our Dallas campus as to where I'm based at, which is the original campus in Flower Mound, you know, the suburb of suburbs. And so we were able to, over time, kind of learn how to collaborate with each other. And I feel like it was a harbinger, which that's a great comic book word, with your permission, I'll say it again, harbinger. It was a harbinger of really like where the church was going to go, where we as elders about 2 years ago sat together and felt very compelled by the Lord and the Spirit to say, no, you guys have said this was long-term church planting. Let's do this. And instead of just waiting for campuses to say, hey, we're ready, and us and everyone else kind of going, oh, that's great for you guys, let's do this together. Let's all collaborate together and let's do it. Let's get all the resources that we've got, and let's send these campuses, these brand new churches, off in style. And that's been really great for groups, because it's allowed us to kind of peel back and not think about groups across five or six different campuses across a vast metroplex of different contexts. My team and I can think about groups in the Flower Mound area. Mm-hmm. And that's what's really exciting. And it kind of gave us a little bit of a rebirth. And getting excited about groups. I know it did for me. And I know for my colleagues at the other campuses, it's also allowed them to create for their people in a local context. And that's what's really fun. It actually feels really true to groups to do that, right?
Man, I really resonate with that. I was on staff leading groups at a multi-site church. And
that's right.
One of the hardest things that was a part of my job was having a consistent group strategy across all of the campuses, because each one really needs to be in context to who they're reaching, to their, you know, their culture, their community. And so we spent a lot of time thinking through, okay, this is going to work at this campus, but it won't work at this campus. So man, that is really freeing to listen to.
So it's been freeing for us.
Good. Let me ask you this. You know, we can talk organizationally, structurally, all of that, but specifically, what biblically clicked for you a few years ago when it came to small groups, particularly being on staff at a mega multi-site church?
Right, right. And so, you know, I got the groups bug in college. And so that was 18 to 19 years ago. Yeesh. And then just two years into that, like I started leading and directing small groups, you know, first in a parachurch and then in the church. And so it's what I've done my entire adult life. So like I'm in, but there were two things that clicked for me. One was I was reading through the Gospels and it just popped out to me that Jesus ministered primarily in three different places. One would be the synagogue. One would be kind of more public places. And then he ministered in homes. And as you see him get closer to the crucifixion, he ministered almost exclusively in homes. And that so resonated with me. One of my favorite Jesus story is Mark 2, the healing of the paralytic, which what's happening there, but a first century small group with Jesus at the center. And it's just that stuff started clicking where I started thinking there's a biblical framework for this. This is something God's people have always done. And then I started thinking back further and I'm thinking, well, gosh, call of Abraham, Genesis 12, God's calling a smaller group, a family of people to follow him. And then you see God building this group that he would then give commands to basically, you know, encourage one another and to worship him. And he's saying, as you're doing this one anothering, Israel, all the other nations are going to look at you and say, gosh, what nation has a God so close as their God? And it just kind of, you know how you see those crimson threads through the Bible sometimes, where it just all kind of comes together in this really cool kind of maybe like grand comic book sort of way. It's like, it's all connected. I just started seeing how God on mission uses his people ministering to one another and to their surrounding community. Think Israel in the promised land, surrounded by their enemies. It's like, as you follow this law and you one another, the nations are going to be impacted by that. And then, you know, I mean, our tried and true Acts 2 in groups. I had taught that for years, guys, but I never went through to verse 49, which is, as they're doing these things, the Lord added to their number day by day. Mm-hmm. So as the Christian community are meeting in these homes and they're meeting in small groups, the community around them is being impacted. Mm-hmm. And so it's so funny because I think for years, and I'm guilty of this too, so many of us have tried to tease out like, well, but we do community or we do mission. And biblically, I don't think God's ever separated them out. And the commands just go together. I think about Jesus in John 13. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. And by this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. So those 59 one another passages come up. I mean, informed by Jesus, taught by the apostles, have missional output. Man, the polarity of the thing. Just came alive to me, and I'm getting excited because it's still exciting me. I feel like, you know, you can read these passages in the Bible, you can read through your Bible every year, but there's stuff that just pops, yeah, comes alive at wonderful times in your life. Yeah. And, it's just gotten me excited about groups again, you know, 17 years into leading the things. I love groups more than ever now because I see them so much as a part of the mission of God.
I think that's fascinating that, you're going back, you know, as groups people, you know, we always reference Acts 2 and usually 42 to, mm-hmm, to 47. So, mm-hmm, I think it's great going all the way to 49. Right. But even going back to Jesus's ministry was primarily in homes. I think that's a fascinating look at it that we don't usually take when it comes to groups. So it goes way, way back, not just the early church.
Oh, yeah.
Before that. That's fascinating.
Yeah, and just being an old soul, I'm just getting more interested in the ancient time-tested things, you know, where it's like, show me something that's lasted. Oh, we've been doing this for 2,000 years. Yeah, I want that.
Hey, Jared, so in terms of the home groups and you guys meeting in homes, I take it that that's, you have the only on-campus groups that you have would be like student and maybe kids?
We do have those. So I oversee and direct two of our environments. They're both groups. One is home groups that do meet in the homes during the week. The other one is recovery groups. And those are specialized care groups for specialized care. People who are walking through a very specific season of either just suffering from sin that they've done, been done to them, or just the effects of living in a sinful world. And those are more specialized with trained leaders. And we have those on campus on Wednesday nights. But the group's ethos and truth still echoes through, is it's the people of God getting together in a circle, and the Spirit is ministering through the priesthood of believers.
Small groups typically meet once a week, but life happens every day. That's why Lifeway created the Daily Discipleship Guide. This new addition to the Bible Studies for Life curriculum is used at the weekly meeting to help generate discussion, but it also contains 5 daily devotions to reinforce the learning all week long. This consistent time in God's Word helps create the habit of daily Bible reading, an essential behavior for growing disciples. Download 4 free sessions of the Daily Discipleship Guide at BibleStudiesForLife.com/DDG. That's BibleStudiesForLife.com/DDG.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. So what do those group meetings tend to look like that are in the homes? From group to group, how consistent are they? How do you resource the groups? Like, in working with you guys, I know that the church, at least every now and then, and maybe more often than I'm aware of, will create something like the season study that you guys did last fall, the Apostles' Creed study. I mean, and you have people there at the church that are like published, well, like Jen Wilkin, that has a book out about women in the Word. So you've got those kinds of assets. But in terms of like how you tend to cultivate the group meeting and group leaders and how they use that time, is a meal always involved or maybe never? Is that something that you encourage, or do you leave it up to the groups? Just a little bit about how you guys run that aspect of groups ministry.
Yeah. I think one of the blessings that I have found just in our people, the people that God has formed to call the Village Church in these days, is that they're really biblically serious. They really are. And that they love God and they love God's scriptures. And that's an embarrassment of riches to a groups guy. They constantly ask, is like, how does the Bible inform what we're doing? And so we talk through that, and we've got classes and everything too that are more, I don't oversee those. However, I think they're complementary environment, because you have to have a place to learn your Bible, right? But I think you've also got to have, and this is what we do in home groups, you got to have a place to live your Bible. And so where do these truths begin to work out in that smaller group where you're actually experiencing some of that Acts 2:59 one another's practice? And so a lot of our resourcing for groups has, and we still give them some key resources. So we may have a group that moves through Dietrich Bonhoeffer's Life Together, and that can be really fruitful. We may have a group that reads through and kind of considers Robert Coleman's Master Plan of Evangelism. I told you guys I liked old things.
That's a classic.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, those are, but I'm just finding new life in them because they've lasted and there's great truth. And so we're putting those in front of our group leaders as much as we're encouraging them to look at those 59 one another's of the New Testament. And if you're wondering, what do we need to be doing in group? Well, I've got 59 things right here. And we've created this great visual image of them. It's almost like a heat map of the one another's. And you know the one that occurs the most? It's love. It's love. Mm-hmm. And it just encompasses all these other statements. And I'm saying, so here's case in point. I think a story will illustrate this better. We have a home group, and I've told this before. They invited in a middle-aged family member to attend the group. She's not a believer. She was open about that, but very friendly, loved to be a part of the group with her family members. But she just kept coming back to the home group. And she just kept listening and being a part of the group, was not a believer. And they developed a friendship in the group with her enough to where some of the group members could ask, basically, hey, we love having you here. I mean, tell us, you know, you keep coming back. You're not a Christian, but you're kind of curious. It's like, what keeps drawing you back? And man, guys, I will never forget what was shared with me, her response. She says, no one has ever loved me like you guys have my entire life. I mean, that's what it's about. That is it. And so that's what we're coaching. That's what we're training. all of our home group leaders, coaches, and also our members to see is that's the win for home groups. I've got a home group. I just got a letter from a woman the other day, and she and her husband are in a home group, and they have been faced with some devastating medical things. And this is the kind of stuff that happens in groups. This is the one and other stuff that I find out months later. Her group has been driving her to her visits. She can't drive. They just said, you let us know when your appointments are. We'll make sure someone gets you there. They have given her over $1,300 to help pay medical bills. Guys, I never would have known this. They're not getting a weekend announcement. We're not making a video about it. It's the people of God and the priesthood of believers doing this in the context of a home group. And so what we try to train our leaders on is those kinds of stories.
So, Chris, how often when you're out and about, you see a situation like this where you've got like the course, like what they're referring to as course, where you get your actual, what I would call Bible study with these teachers that are very much informed by the Bible, and you're getting just heavy duty exegetical teachings, what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. But then there's this second unit that Jared and the village are calling the groups ministry that is much more like just biblical community, like he's describing.
Right.
I mean, do you see that very often? And how, I mean, what does it take to pull that off?
Yeah, I don't see it that often. I think it's becoming more of a trend as, you know, I think a lot of churches felt like the first part was Sunday school and, you know, they wanted to get away from that. And so it went all into the homes and was great for community. But I think churches like the Village Church and a handful of others are recognizing that there's a missing piece, and that's that teaching piece. Okay, how do we teach? And then that second piece is how we live that out. And you can do both. I think where we get it mixed up is where we try to do both in the same setting or the same place.
Right. That is right. You put too much on a leader. It's like, you're the teacher. You lead mission trips. You do the premarital counseling. That we did that. I mean, we tried to slam everything. Yeah. And it sounds great, right? But you can't define what the win is. But I think making groups a place for Christian practice, a place to live your Bible, a place to practice the one another's of Scripture, gives everybody a really big field to play in, right?
Yep.
Francis Schaeffer, I told you guys I like old things. Francis Schaeffer said, as long as you're in the bounds of the New Testament, there's so much freedom and space to play. And that's how I feel about our groups, is that as long as we are saying we've got a really biblically serious people and we are tending that garden, man, that's a lot of spiritually alive groups out there that are making a difference. That I told you guys, I hear these stories months afterward, and they're amazing. They really are.
So Jared, I want to ask you one more question. I'd love to hear about, you're putting together a community leadership cohort. And so, first of all, what is it? And then what makes it different from anything else people could be a part of?
Right. So this was, I kind of got dragged kicking and screaming into this by other groups guys, but it's what I've always wanted. And Chris, you guys may have had this experience as well. It feels like as a groups guy, sometimes you can be put in a role that others in the church maybe don't really understand, but you get told things like, I just need groups to work. And you get set over here it's so ironic. We usually set the groups person, the community person over here by themselves. And just by their very nature, they're meant to be collaborative, right? And so that was part of thinking through the community leadership cohort, was that I think that leading groups, we're just stronger together. And I want to have these kinds of conversations and just create space for them with other guys who are leading groups, pastoring groups in their local churches. And so what's different about it is that this is not, we're going to pull you into a conference room for a few days. We're going to do a house for three times over the course of a year. And it's going to be a small group of 12 of us. That seems like a good biblical master plan of evangelism number, right? And so we're limiting to that so that we can have these kinds of conversations. Because I think things like conferences, even this podcast, talking with you guys, I mean, talking with other people out there on phone calls for an hour or so is really, really great. But I would just been looking with some of my colleagues. One is Justin Ellifrost, also leading groups here at the Village with me, and then JJ Side, the community director at Frontline Church in Oklahoma City. We have just gotten together and tried to form something that can be an oasis and a refreshment, but also a bit of a revitalization for groups guys. And so we're going to meet in community. We're going to push each other. We're going to do some pastoral work. And we're also going to come out with what I think are some very time-tested, yes, ancient strategies that you can execute in your context. Because what people don't need is the way the Village Church does it. You need the way that God's leading you as the point person for groups in your context. You need his vision for you. Now, I think there's some biblical things and foundations we can use and build off of, but we're better forming these things together. And then what you guys are doing with the podcast is great too, because as groups people, we want to form a network. And so the more of us that we can get in the room and have relationships with over the years, it's just going to be better for all of us. I've been a great recipient of that, both, you know, you guys inviting me in, getting to meet, you know, just some of the other groups family that's out there across America. I want to give some of that back in a really dialed in community environment. And so JJ, Justin, and I are starting that up. It's leadershipcohort.org if you want to find out more about it.
Very cool. I love that. I love that you guys are sowing back into groups people, because you guys have obviously wrestled with some big questions that a lot of churches are wrestling with. So hopefully if you're out there, you're listening to this, check it out. And I don't know smarter or more dedicated biblical guys than you'll find at the Village Church. So please check that out. All right, Brian, we need to highlight another sister podcast, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
What, is this me? Is it my turn?
Go for it.
So we're talking, Chris, today about New Church's Q&A. Are you familiar with that show?
I've heard it a couple times.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Well, if you've listened recently, you've heard Daniel M., which Daniel's a friend of ours, been on the show a few times. Ed Stetzer, we need to get Ed on the show. What would Ed talk about if we brought him on the show?
Ed.
And Todd Adkins. As a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family, they've recently covered topics like how to reach first responders, rural church ministry and social media, and the rise of celebrity pastors. Just look up New Churches, that's just two words, on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today. And speaking of subscribe today, we would encourage you to subscribe to the Group Answers show and to put your comments out there and rating. That stuff matters.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Group Answers. Jared, thanks so much for joining us. Man, that was so good.
Oh, thank you, man. I really enjoyed the time. Love hanging with you guys.
You can follow Jared at JS Musgrove on Twitter. And again, the website for the Leadership Cohort was leadershipcohort.org.
And he does a lot of writing for us here at Lifeway. So if you go to lifeway.com/groupsministry and hit the blog, Jared's got a ton of good stuff. I think you just did one on training for the fall. Is that right?
I did one on don't let groups be a mystery to your children.
That was it. Yeah. Really good. Really good. Yeah. So check that out. Yeah. And Brian, I think that's it.
That's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Group Answers Show. Thanks, Chris. This is Brian Daniel along with Jared Musgrove, and looking forward to you being with us again.